Chapter 2 of Ephesians, and I will read it first. These little chapters, they're not big word-wise, but there's a lot of meaning to them, so as we'll see as we go through. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in his sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of the grace of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus you are who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished his flesh in the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For though through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now let's go back and talk about this. In this first verse, there's three words that's not supposed to be there. The words, has he quickened? Now, if you read it without, it does change the context of what he's saying. They added that in. The writers added it in. It's not in the original languages. It should say, and you who were dead in trespasses and sins. So who's he talking to?
Me.
Everybody. We were all dead in sins and trespasses at one time. Okay? In our mind, we were there. And the word trespass here is the word paratoma, which means whether it's intentional or unintentional. And sin, the harmatia, which literally means missing the mark. Okay, so use both words. In verse 2, he goes on and says, where in time past, or once, or at some time, you not walked, but lived according to the aeon, or the age of this world, which is the cosmos. Okay, so the age of this world or cosmos, the orderly arrangement. So he's saying at some time we have all walked according to the way the world walked. If you were in Egypt, you was walking like an Egyptian, right? Okay, so nobody's any better than anybody else, are we? That's what he's trying to tell us. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works, or is literally, it's the word energio, which means it is active. It's the one that's active in us in the natural state, okay? He didn't say that some time ago was active or will be active in the future, did he? He said now, present tense. He said, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Now, this word disobedience means a lot more than just disobedience. It means disbelief. It means obstinate. It also means rebellious. And all those words go into that nature of the carnal man, don't they? So all those things, he said, that's what's working in them. This spirit in them is active in them. And among whom also we had our conversation, or what it should say, we all lived. We all lived there once, didn't we?
We had separated.
There you go. And in times past, or at some time in the lust of our flesh, okay? Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And really it's saying the desires, okay? And were by nature the children of wrath, or we were the children of those desires. Those desires we have created us to do things. Does that make sense to you? The desires that drive the natural man make him who he is. Why are people addicted to drugs? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? It's because the lust in their mind has driven them to that thing, and they can't separate from that. Okay? Are we supposed to beat people up for it?
No, they're weak.
No, they're just weaker. I feel sorry for them, but I can't do it. I can't make them change, can we? Nobody can make anybody change. We can just be aware. That's all we can do. We can love them. That's all we can do. Okay? And by the nature, and that word nature, again, is their character. You know, it's what was created. It was created by those desires. Their nature was created by the desires in their mind. I don't know if I've shared with you, I think I have in past maybe. But a lot of people think that once you come to a certain place, you're clean. You know, you don't ever have any more pressure in there. I've had people tell me in this room right here, oh, if my life was as easy as yours. Everybody's better than they are.
Or, better often.
Yeah.
If everybody put their problems in the pile, they don't.
Yeah. You wouldn't be. Yeah, you'd take them back in a heartbeat. But I have things like I told Lois one time about a woman that told her something. You know, she said, "I would bed Dave down if I could," and she was mad at me because that woman said it. I didn't do it. I didn't do anything. You know, but
I don't think I would.
I didn't tell her. She told me. The woman told her.
Oh, okay.
I had nothing to do with it. But anyway, you know, but people do those things. You know, those temptations are put in front of you. There was another one. I think I did tell her something similar to that. And
in our relationship with church.
Yeah, it was early in our walk with God. And so it was a little touchy there for a while, you know. But I had a friend, and we went to his house, and he had a gate across his property where he goes in. There was a bridge, and got to the bridge, had to open that to keep people from going in his property and destroying stuff. So he had this gate there, and he got out to unlock it, and his thought through my head said, "Won't you just ram him in the back and shove him through that thing, you know?" And like, you know, those thoughts go through your head. I mean, everybody has crazy thoughts all the time in their head. But that's one that came in my head. I use as an example. I mean, why would I want to do anything like that? But still, it was in my head. And some people, that's why their prisons are full of people and the mental hospitals are full of people, because they listen to those things in their head and respond to them. Now, I'm not going to respond. I know it's foolishness. I'm not going there, you know.
Like I said, you brought that external monster in and
used it. Sure. So you just say, hey, I'm not going to do it. Okay? But we create that thing by thinking. What we cultivate is what grows in our mind. If you cultivate your garden properly, it grows and produces a lot of fruit. If I cultivate these thoughts of this weird, crazy stuff that people do and thinking somebody don't like me or all this, it's going to be a bad day, we've cultivated. What are we going to expect to reap? You're going to reap what you sow.
You already got the tools.
Sure, the cherubim's already in there doing it. So we got to realize we're creating these things, and don't be blaming somebody else for the things going down in your life. Nothing's going down in my life that I can blame on anybody but me. Now, somehow, I'm responsible. I may not even know how I did it or why I did it or when I did it, but I still know that I am responsible for me. Nobody else is responsible for what's going down in my life. It's easy to point at somebody, but that's not the answer. The answer's in here.
Can you imagine? just stopping on what you just said and ponder on that for a while.
I have. That's why I can say it.
Well, and what I'm saying is, it's such a wide spectrum of why our lives are like they are.
Yeah. Because if you're going to blame somebody and never accept responsibility, then you're sowing to that thing all the time. It's always going to keep coming back. You're going to reap what you sow. Early on in my walk, I said something, and this one woman, she used to live real close here, and we went to church together, and early on she was always angry about why bad things happened to her. And I said, you know, all your life you did things and you sowed to the flesh, and you have to reap those seeds. There's the fruit of what you sowed all your life. But she thought, hey, I already said I'm sorry, and that's the end of it. You know, I shouldn't have nothing else to reap. And I said, it's not that way. I said, what you need to do is sow enough good things that it overtake the weeds in your garden. She wouldn't accept that. She said, no, I've already been saved, and that's the end of it. No. Okay. You know, if you argue with a fool, you just prove there's two of them. So you just let it go and don't try to argue with them. Let them go. They don't want the truth. They just want to blame somebody. So that's okay. The last part there, it says, even as others. That word others isn't really definitive in what it means. What it should mean is the rest of humanity. Okay, that word should be the rest of humanity. See? They're by nature the children of wrath as the rest of humanity. Makes it a little more defined what we're talking about.
Sure.
Verse 4 goes on to say, but God, being not who, but being rich in mercy. And what is mercy?
Compassion.
It's compassion. Not for, but through his great love. He has this compassion through his great love, wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in our sins, and that's that paratoma, whether intentional or unintentional, that Paul used, has quickened or has made us alive. It says he has quickened us, but literally you should say he made us alive together with Christ, okay, by grace, by that divine influence in our life. He made us alive by what he influenced in our life. Not what we did. It has nothing to do with what we do. It's what he did. Where am I at that now? Okay, this. By grace are you saved. And it should say it another way. It should say, by grace I exist or I am. The word saved is not.
Is that even in there?
No.
Mine's
no.
In parentheses.
Yeah, that's it, because it's not really there. Well, I mean, it's that by grace you are saved. Yes, that is there. But the last word, saved, is not even close in the rendering. It should be, I exist or I am. By grace, I exist. That makes sense to me. By grace, I am. Yeah, that makes sense to me. But this saved thing is totally out of context. That's the religious translation. Okay? And has raised us up together and made us sit. And that's not good, because the word made isn't there. He didn't make us do anything. He just said he raised us up together and sit us together in the realm of the Spirit. He raised us up and set us in the realm of the Spirit. That's what it should say. In Christ Jesus. Not in heavenly places, but in the realm of the Spirit in Christ. And when you say heavenly places in Christ, everybody looks up into the stars. And that's not what he's talking about. It's in the mind of Christ. It's the realm of the Spirit. In order that in the age to come, not ages, but in the age to come, he, and cross out that word might, because it's not supposed to be there, he indicate, the word shoe should be indicate the exceeding riches of his grace in, not his, the word his isn't even there, in kindness toward us through or in Christ Jesus. See, it's not through Christ, but it's in Christ. As we're in Christ, we're going to see all this stuff will manifest. Every bit of it. When you're in Christ. See, It's not through what he did, but it's when we become in him. It's not about us anymore. It's about him. Paul said it how many times? It's not I, but the Christ that's in me. And then he says it again, verse 8. Because by grace are you delivered through faith, and that, and it should say, that thing is not from out of yourselves or you. You're saved by grace, right? You're delivered from through grace, faith, and that is not from out of yourselves. It is the gift of God, or it is literally the sacrifice of God. And what is the sacrifice of God? Christ on the cross. Okay? Do you remember what Habakkuk 2:4 says? The just shall live by his faith. Okay? That goes right along with that. It's not about what we do. It's not our faith. The only faith we have is what he gave us as a gift. It's his faith he gave us. So that's what we have. We can't take credit. And the next verse says it. Not of works, not from out of works, lest any man should boast. It's not about, and yet you hear them every day. I got 10 people saved. We had this great revival, and we saved half the community. Hogwash. I said it very politely. Yeah. Yeah. But the people, they want to take credit for everything. That's the natural man, see? They haven't come out. They haven't been separated yet. Verse 10. Because we are his, not workmanship, but we are his product or production. He created us, didn't he? We're his product. Created or formed originally is what it should say. And that now we're talking Genesis 1:1-3. That's what we're talking. That's when the Christ man was made in the first three verses. He created the perfect God man. I'm not going to go back and do that over again unless somebody wants it. But you can go to the Genesis, any of our Genesis stuff, and you'll find it there on the website. But we're his product or production, created or originally formed in Christ Jesus unto good works. What was we created for? Huh? For good works. Not to beat somebody up, not to accuse somebody, not to condemn somebody. And see, everybody thinks judgment. He said, we'll sit on thrones and judge, and they think we'll be a big judge. Death to this one, all these things to people. That's not what it's about. Because judgment has two sides. It's guilty or not guilty. And just like Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, as they was killing him. Just like Stephen said when they stoned him to death, Father, lay the sin not to their charge. That's our example, how we judge people that have done us wrong. Let them go. They don't know any different. You know, they're ignorant. That's what he really said. They're ignorant. They're ignorant of the truth. So don't judge them. See, that's not the way you judge them. Guilty, death, all that stuff under the law. This is now, it's forgiveness.
There's still that separation of thoughts.
Yep. They don't understand why. They don't understand why we're not mad at them. They can't. What does the natural man receive from the Spirit of God? So don't worry about that. Just don't beat them up. Okay, we were created for good works. Okay? And literally it says unto good works, but it should say to do good works. We were created to do good works, which God prepared beforehand in order that we should not walk in them, but live in them, the good works. That should be part of our life. We should just live in the good works. Don't worry about the negative side. There are going to be negatives around, but always. You live in the good side, huh?
Always.
There's always something around. See, just realize that we're to walk in those good works that he called us to do. Don't worry about what somebody else does or don't do. You just do what you're supposed to do. Verse 11, wherefore remember that you... Cross out the word being, that's an added one. What that you in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, the flesh made by hands. Now, that verse goes right along with 12. In order that in that time you were without Christ, estranged, it says being aliens or being estranged from the commonwealth of Israel, and aliens, now that word stranger should be aliens, from the covenants of promise, having no hope, godless in the world. That's what it should say. You're godless in the world with no hope. And that's where the world is right now. Right now, the whole world is focused on the economy of the world. Are they not? That's all they're focused on. They're not focused on, how can I make my life better? What can I glean from this life? What can I learn through the experience of this life? How much better can I make it in my understanding? How much closer can I get to my Father? That's not even in the churches, that's not the issue. How much money can we raise? How many cupcake sales can we have? How many
car washes
or all these things they're doing?
EPA stopped that.
What?
EPA stopped that.
They did, making
car washes.
Polluting the dirt.
Yep, polluting the drain water.
Yeah. Anyway, it's stuff, see? It's works, and he didn't need to say right there, not of works, lest anyone would boast. They don't understand, and we have to let them go. You can't beat them up because they're being stupid. What's the comedian says? You can't fix stupid.
You can't beat them up just a little bit.
No. You can have fun with them, I guess, but don't beat them up. Okay. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who at some time were far off are made near in the blood of Christ. Not by, but in the blood of Christ.
Okay.
In the blood of Christ. Because the same blood flows through your veins as His. Verse 14, because He is our peace, the one that has made both one. The church separates and God multiplies, puts it together. And has broken down that what says the middle wall of partition, the word middle wall of is all added. He broke down the partition, period, between us isn't even there either. He just broke down the partition, the separation between us. Yeah, that's all it is. That's the way it should read. He just broke down the wall of separation. So if there's no wall of separation, then are we separated? Only in their thinking processes. Okay. We don't see them as less a human being as we are. See? But they see themselves better than us. Let them do it. Whatever. That's okay. Let them do what they want. And it says in verse 15, having abolished, or literally by inactivating in his flesh the enmity or the hostility or the reason for opposition. See? He killed something. Well, you know what he killed on that cross? The ego. He killed the ego. There's no, without an ego, there can't be any conflict.
I have no other gods before.
Yeah. Well, that ego was a god. But he took care of the ego. And if there's no ego, there's no fight. Yeah.
Man keeps resurrecting.
Nope. They try to. But anyway, he took care of the hostility, you know, the reason for the opposition. And the law of commandments, and that's what he said, that law of commandments was what created the problem. See, the law made somebody better than somebody else. They were good and you were evil. That was the problem. Contained, and it probably, and let me say it another way, I'm not saying the law is bad, I'm saying their interpretation of the law made it bad, because the law wasn't bad. Yeah, the ego took it and changed it the way they wanted it. In the ordinances of to create in himself of twain or two, one new man making peace. If you take the two and blend them together, how are you going to fight if you're of each other? It'd be pretty difficult, wouldn't it? Punch yourself in the nose? Kick yourself in the butt? It'd be hard to do. You could be done, but it's pretty difficult. Doesn't make any sense. Okay? I'm going to look at something here just a minute. Something I wrote down here I want to see. Okay? And it goes along with what I said. When I said the law was the problem, but it wasn't the law, but it was the interpretation of the law. In Matthew 5:17, it says, "Think not I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Okay? He used it for what it was for, and now he's done with it. We don't need the law anymore. It's been fulfilled.
The ego is saying, well, this is what he said, but this is what he really meant.
Yeah, that's when you get in trouble. But he finished with it. So now we don't need it anymore. And in their interpretation, just like the Jewish people, whenever God gave them 10 commandments, they immediately wrote 613 more, or something like that. You know, nobody could even remember what they were, much less keep them. You know, you didn't. It's ridiculous. So, and it was not called the law of God anyway. It's called the law of what?
Moses.
Ah, he was a man too, wasn't he? Okay. Let's don't get off our course here. Okay, verse 16. It should say, and not that he reconciled both, but it says, and reconciled fully both to God in one body through the cross. So he took the ego man out. Guess what? There's no more reason to fight. If I don't have anything to prove to anybody, I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to compete against anybody about anything. There's room for everybody. Yeah. What's the fight?
That's why when you come across those external ones, their Christ is still asleep.
They have not awakened in any shape or form. They have been awakened.
But
they just
the ego is alive and well.
Oh, absolutely. It don't take you long to figure that one out. Okay, where did I leave off here? Oh, okay, I did 15, yeah. Thank you. That he reconciled both unto God in one body through the cross, having slain the hostility or the reason for opposition in it. In his cross, he slayed it. What did he slay? The ego.
Or the devil.
There you go. Yeah, that old devil. With the pitchfork and the ponytail and the horns and the red flannel suit.
If he slew it, how's come it's still alive and well?
Yeah. And, you know, we can joke about it, but it's really sad that the people still believe this. But when the people that stand in the pulpits and preach this garbage, these fairy tales that they've made up to scare people, to control them, and to get their money, you can't, I mean, you know, we have a democratic thought process in this country. The majority rules. If the most people say that's the way it is, it's right whether it's right or wrong.
Obamacare.
Right or wrong. I got an email yesterday and said they passed a new law on us. And everybody has to buy a boat. Everybody in the country. Doesn't make any difference if you live in the desert or in New York City or anywhere where there's no water, you still have to buy a boat and you have to maintain it and all these things, you know. And it compared it with everything, just like Obamacare, all this stuff. Said, now, ridiculous, isn't it? Yes, it is.
I thought so.
Yeah. So is most of the country. Okay, verse 17. And after he did what he did and brought the peace, look what he did in verse 17. And came and preached what? Well, wait a minute. How come the church is preaching hell and the devil and fire and torment?